Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today about devotion to Christ. Devotion to Christ means, first of all, love. If you are devoted to someone, you must love them. What are the signs of love? Wanting to communicate. Wanting to be in the presence of that person. Wanting to do what pleases that person. Isn't that right? Communication, being with them, and wanting to please them. Is that your attitude toward Jesus Christ? Do you want to be with him? Do you want to communicate with him? Do you want to do what he says? If so, then you do need to have a time for what are called devotions. Your devotion will be proved by your setting aside a time when he can speak to you. If we get perplexed and wonder what we should do next or how to make a certain decision, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to sort of hammer away at God's door suddenly in the emergency and say, Lord, show me what to do, unless we put ourselves in a position to hear what he has to say, to listen to his answer. And the best way to do that, I think, is early in the morning. There are a lot of scriptural precedents for that. The Bible tells us that Jesus got up a great while before day and went off up into the hills to pray. Again and again in the Gospels, we read of Jesus departing from the crowds and finding a solitary place where he prayed. He went often to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. And of course, we do know of one particular instance when he went there just before he went to the cross. And we even know the words of his prayer, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then later he prayed, if it is not possible, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt, not my will, but thy will be done. He wanted to express his love to his Father, to commune with him, to be in his presence, and to do his will. Now, it is impossible, isn't it, for us to be thinking, literally thinking about Jesus Christ all day long. But what is the home of your heart? Home is a place that you return to repeatedly, isn't it? Is Jesus Christ the home of your heart? The minute you can take your mind off whatever it is that is pressing, does your mind immediately flee to Christ? Do you just look up? Amy Carmichael spoke of offering many little looks of love throughout the day. Many little looks of love. It's love in action, love which seeks the good of the beloved. How can I do any good for God? The only good that I can do for God will be done by his grace, but I must will to participate in that work of grace, mustn't I? I must choose to be alone with him. God can wake you up in the morning, but God can't put your feet on the floor. God is not going to put your feet on the floor. You've got to put your feet on the floor when the alarm clock goes off. God is not going to get you into that quiet place and put you down on your knees. That's not the way he deals with us. He gives us the power to do those things. And for any who might be listening to me who are in a hospital bed or a wheelchair, paralyzed, it's impossible for you to put your feet on the floor or anywhere. It's impossible for you even to move without help of some sort. Your devotional life perhaps is far more powerful, far more meaningful than for us who are racing and tearing around. I know that there are many who are in this condition. God knows your ability. God knows your schedule. God knows the physical situation. Some of you are in a position where you would just say, it's impossible for me to get alone anywhere. I can hardly even go into the bathroom without my children following me. Well, maybe you can get up before your children are up. And my daughter Valerie is the mother of 7 children. And she tells me that she tries to have a regular devotional time. But if she's up all night with a sick baby, or if she's up 2 or 3 times nursing a baby, it doesn't always work out at exactly the same time. And she says that she has just prayed, Lord, if you want me to have time with you, please show me, or please waken me during the night. And she said sometimes the Lord will awaken her at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she will have her devotional time then. And it turns out that at the regular time, something else is going to happen that God knows about that she didn't know. But she said it really is amazing how when she earnestly desires and seeks to arrange time, that the Lord helps her in ways that she could not plan. So my sympathies do go out especially to you mothers of young children. I know that of all people, you're most liable to interruptions and to the impossibility of planning in any very predictable way what's to take place that day. I mentioned a little book that I find very helpful called Daily Strength for Daily Needs. And I wanted to read you another passage that struck me as I was preparing these talks on devotion. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The little worries which we meet each day may lie as stumbling blocks across our way, or we may make them stepping stones to be of grace, O Lord, to Thee. I'll read that again. The little worries which we meet each day may lie as stumbling blocks across our way, or we may make them stepping stones to be of grace, O Lord, to Thee. We must be continually sacrificing our own wills as opportunity serves to the will of others, bearing without notice sights and sounds that annoy us, setting about this or that task when we would far rather be doing something very different, persevering in it often when we are thoroughly tired of it, keeping company for duty's sake when it would be a great joy for us to be by ourselves. Besides all the trifling untoward accidents of life, bodily pain and weakness long continued, and perplexing us often when it does not amount to illness, losing what we value, missing what we desire, disappointment in other persons, willfulness, unkindness, ingratitude, folly, in cases where we least expect it. I guess that in that list, many of you have been able to identify with at least one thing. Make that a matter of prayer. Put that down on a piece of paper so that the next time you have time for your devotions or tomorrow morning or whenever it's going to be, you can talk to God about that thing. Did something happen in the category of a trifling, untoward accident of life? Just some little thing that you just want to say, oh no. Bodily pain and weakness. Anybody identify with that? So many of you have back problems. I hear about back problems and arthritis. Setting about this or that task when we would far rather be doing something very different. You know, all of these things may take on a very different aspect if we have begun the day with Jesus Christ. Why not give Him the first hour of the day? Well, you may say, it's not my best hour. I'm not a morning person. I don't really like getting up early in the morning. But it might be the best time because it would be the only time that would be uninterrupted. Well, before God, you decide. Ask Him to show you what is the best time of your day. And then guard it carefully. You're going to have to surround it with all sorts of fences in order to carry through your devotional time then. If you don't know what to pray, you can't do better than to read the Psalms. I find it wonderfully helpful and spiritually fortifying to just pick a psalm and read it. Psalm 139, for example. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Skipping down to verse 17, he says, Oh, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There's a verse to think about when you wake up in the morning. When I awake, I am still with you. And you can go from that into your quiet time. Read your Bible. Use Scripture Union Notes, which I've recommended very highly if you need help in understanding and applying, and pray.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.